Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on November 6th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to be talking about some of the stuff we've been watching, mostly anime, some of which airs on Toonami. But not this week, because Toonami just had a Promised Neverland marathon.
Yep.
Did you watch it? I didn't.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I use that to catch up on my sleep.
Oh, I know it. I've been trying to get to bed earlier and not keep staying up so early because I have to get up early during the week. Not quite as early because I got a slightly later shift, but still early. And I think it's a problem where once you start staying up early, it just sticks with you and you can't do it. But because of this, I was able to do, because of that and some other things, like the fact that I actually didn't go to work on Monday because I had sprained my ankle the day before. So I think I've kind of been able to get it together. So we'll see if that can continue. Okay. Before, we've got no Toonami stuff to talk about. Outside of the fact, I would like to correct an error I realized I made last time when I said that prior to Part 5, there wasn't any actual female fighter in JoJo. I forgot about Lisa Lisa. I think it's the second time I've made that statement and forgotten about her. So other than her, there hadn't been any prior to Trish. Not counting, you know, like one-off antagonists. Okay. So, let us start with Tales of the Abyss, episode 25, in which they go and they're going to go into the final battle, I guess. And so they fight some bad guys and manage to beat them in what I'm sure were much more climactic boss battles in the game. Luke fights Ash because I guess Ash was like, look, we gotta have a fight at some point in this series, okay? It's like when Sasuke just randomly wants to fight Naruto at the very end of Naruto. There wasn't really much reason for it, but you needed the big clash. Okay. So they, yeah. So then, but anyway, so they get over their differences. Ash ends up kind of staying behind to be a distraction and apparently dies? I don't know if he does or not. There's a whole lot of blood there, but I don't know. He could very easily get, you know, brought back or something.
Well, they were obviously pushing the whole Natalia and Ash romance, or as she calls them, Achu. So I've noticed that some of the other characters started calling them that too, Achu.
Yeah.
But she's the one who mainly does it, and she obviously has feelings for him, which is good because we needed her to get out of the way for the big Luke and Tyr romance. But I still have the money that Luke goes down with Anise. In the end. Just joking. There's no chance of that.
Yeah, this isn't like Fire Emblem, like some of the recent Fire Emblem games, where the main character can end up with literally every single other playable character. Like even stuff that like doesn't make like literally there I remember in was it Fates or I can't remember, but there's a part where one of the characters is, I can't remember his exact relationship, like he was like your brother or cousin, something uncomfortably close, but then in the final support conversation, oh well, we're not actually related by blood.
Oh, that, you know what that reminds me of? Something I was looking at just this week. And that was this anime that I actually reviewed on the blog. I don't know if you remember this. It was called Sister Princess. And basically you have 12 sisters and like they all are like smitten with their brother. And in the actual game, you have two endings with each character. One is like them being your sister, and the other one is you find out that they're not your sister, they're not related to you, so then you fall in love with them. So there's like 24 different endings or something, and that's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, I'm trying to double check on this one because I didn't really let's see what was I'll look into it later, but I just remembered that. So let's see. Yeah, Sister Princess. That's when you said that, I thought wasn't that the name of the anime that the main character of Yomuchi Petal was into?
No. He was into his was a fictional anime.
Oh, I know it was fictional. It just sounded like it. let me see if I can look this up. It's let's see. Well, I suppose if any listener is interested enough to find out, they can look it up for themselves.
Yep.
Okay. So, so I guess that was Tales of the Abyss.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot missing. Like we're missing a whole lot because I don't know. This just the ending feels kind of rushed, but maybe that's just me.
The problem for me is it just. I'm watching all of this and I'm just kind of like, it's kind of what you said, but it's in fact, I'm just kind of like, it's feeling sort of like what I mentioned in the Gundam series where I'm like, okay, they're doing stuff. I'm a little confused about the specifics, but they are. The series, so much of it has just been kind of shuttling them from place to place so that they can like, you know, do some stuff and get into some conflicts there, which are usually resolved kind of quickly and presumably were much more exciting boss battles in the game.
Yeah, you got that right. I still have to play the game to find out how good these boss battles are. I really hope you don't have to fight Oz like 10 times, but I get the feeling you do.
Okay. So, yeah, I do wonder if you, do. I just, yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to double check what I was looking on in regards, to, this because why not? It's, let's see. No, that's not what I'm looking right. I will continue looking while we talk. Okay, so then we move on to Ghost in the Shell, episode 34. Okay, this, like I mentioned before, we kind of watched this a while ago, but kind of stopped because of problems with their site that we weren't able to keep up with the stuff. I'm pretty sure this is the last one I watched before before we kind of gave up on that. And I couldn't remember, and I kind of forgot about because it's not a very memorable episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to find this guy who they think might have been the shooter for this stuff, except then it turns out that they were given false information, and some other guys who were also given false information went, there and killed the guy, and then they're like, oh well, we were fed false information, and that was basically the episode.
And stuff about fake food.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, what was the point of that?
I don't know. That was like the theme of the episode. I think that was even the title of the episode.
Oh, it was. And I was just like, they talk about it. And I'm just like, but what? Like he says, the sandwiches are fake food, but you still ate them. So I don't know. Did I miss something important there? Okay. Okay, I found the thing. I double checked. So yes, there. One of the characters, Ryoma, he's supposed to be your like brother in the game. That's like the reveal. But if you S rank him, you know the point at which he gets all romantic. He's like, oh well, I have to confess something. I am not actually your brother. Like, okay, now we can get together. And I guess that's and he's like, I'm just glancing over the support, and they're saying, well, why are you telling me this? He's like, well, because I fell in love with you, so you kind of need to know that, so this won't feel icky. Like I said, you can end up with every character in that, or also Awakening. Like, even the ones who are basically just, like, the main... You can, like, actually recruit these sort of, like, resurrected, like, of some of the most bad guys in the game, and then I guess you can get with them romantically.
I looked it up, too. Sister Princess has two different endings for 10 out of the 12 sisters. Two of the sisters are deemed too young for a romance, so they don't have a non-blood relation ending, and you can only be sisters with them. So there you go. So there's 22 endings.
Yeah. Is the game any good, or?
It's not available in English, so no one... Yeah, there's no way... I looked it up. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to play this game, but no, it's not in English anywhere. So I did see one person doing a Let's Play, but they were able to read Japanese. So unless you can read Japanese fluently, you're never going to play that game. So
if it was in Spanish, I might be able to. Well, I couldn't do a Let's Play unless I had played through it a bunch before, because I've actually been trying to play through some video games in Spanish to try and improve my Spanish, and I think it's working a bit, but it means that there's a lot of words I gotta look up and then try to commit to memory.
Man, you should do that Donkey Kong Country one again and do it all in Spanish. Oh,
yeah, there was this thing I made of this Donkey Kong, and there's some, when I redid levels to try to make them more interesting, I just tried to do them while commenting in Spanish, probably really bad Spanish too. So wow, we had very little to say about this episode.
Yeah, this one wasn't that good. I just have to be honest. I think for some reason, whenever old man is involved, the episodes are better. But he didn't have as much of a role in this one. I can't remember his name at the moment.
Aramaki.
Okay, there it is. Man, I could not remember his name. I knew started with an A. Yeah.
Okay. So next we have well, before that, I just one other thing about Spanish. So like I said, I've also even been trying to like look at like some Spanish stuff online, like some Spanish dubs of anime or some Spanish videos. The problem is there are a bunch of points where a character says something, and I'm like, what do they say? I rewind it, and I listen to it over and over, and I cannot for the life of me figure out what word was said. I mean, I can make up like the full sentence outside of that word, but I can't figure out what they said there. I think like I'm going to like, my sister actually knows Spanish really well. I think when I next year, I'm going to say, okay, look at this Spanish dub of Konosuba. What does Kazuma say here? Because I cannot figure it out.
He says that the goddess Eris pad your chest. That's what he said.
No, that was Aqua. The Spanish dub for Konosuba is actually pretty good. Anyway, so back to the actual thing. Yashahime episode 5.
Okay, so going bounty hunting, and Moroha is needing money because she kind of owes it to someone for some reason, and they work together to, the three girls work together to defeat an enemy, which I was not sure, but is it perhaps that that enemy was like related to one of the Band of Seven from the original? I'm not sure. I didn't look into it enough. Because they reminded me of one of the Band of Seven, and I don't know if that was the case, but they defeat them, and Moroha like puts on lipstick, and by doing that, she somehow becomes like more powerful, and then she kind of wipes out, and. And that's it for her. So, because she's then asleep, and yeah, that's pretty much the episode. We still don't have any. We now have the flea back, Miyoga the flea. He has returned, but you would have thought Miyoga would have told us something about where all the other people are, like their parents or something. And people are starting to get anxious about that because we don't know the parents are, where they are. And also, just today, they put out the dub of episode 1, which is 4 weeks too late for me. So, I'm going to have to go back and watch it to see how the dub is. Interestingly, they got back pretty much everyone from the final act. And then they added the three new voices. One of them is Gon's voice from Hunter x Hunter. So in case she hasn't been in enough stuff already, she's in another one. She is in... She is Toa in this series, and I forget who the other two are, but yeah.
When you say it's Gon's voice, do you mean that it's like actually? Do you mean like it's the same voice actress, or do you mean it's the same voice actress and she's doing the same voice?
Oh, I just meant that she's the same actress. Okay. I don't know if it's the same voice. Maybe she's more Ryuko than Gon in this one.
I mean, because while she does do that Gon voice in a lot of them, in other cases she does different ones. Like Megumin sounds a good deal different, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what with the dub. I think I'm just honestly, I don't think I'll be looking at it. It will probably be put on Toonami at some point, in which case I'll watch it. And I think it would also be more interesting to wait, because at that point it wouldn't be quite as immediately fresh, and also we would be farther away in the regular series, so we could look back and go, oh, this thing foreshadowed this, or this thing doesn't, this thing makes it clear that they totally made this later thing up on the spot because they contradict, or anything like that. I think it would, for me at least, it would probably be, I think I'm going to, since we're already watching it, wait a bit and see if it gets on Toonami. It probably will at some point, at which point it would be later on, and that would be the right, a better time to, you know, be going through it again.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to get on Toonami. You know, I would have guessed that if it was going to be on Toonami, it would be on now. And
well,
that doesn't seem to be the case, so...
Well, I don't. Well, there really isn't anything yet to put it on. It is true that they do have a new show coming, and you could say, oh, this would be the great time, but they didn't necessarily know that it would be available right now. We don't, and with the issues they've had with Black Clover and My Hero Academia, I assume they would want to make sure that it's dubbed fairly far in before they decide to start airing it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It may be the replacement for that. I can't remember the name of the new show that they're having.
The okay. Non-anime show.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. I think it might be somewhat inspired by anime, but it's not anime. Okay. So, but yeah, the fact that they're just not bringing it up, because again, this is the thing. Sango and Moroku's kid apparently did not know who Moroha was, so that but Myoga does know, so he just never told them. Did they not know? I just need an explanation.
I'd like to know, too. A lot of people are wondering why the parents aren't around, and that's becoming a contentious issue. So hopefully we find out soon.
Maybe. We can hope on that. Okay. So we'll go over, I guess we can talk about Excel World Infinite Burst before we get to Attack on Titan. So we decided to watch the movie Excel World Infinite Burst, which before anything else, I want to apologize because I said that it was, I told you that this was like a continuation of the show. This took place right after the show ended. Well, I was going by Wikipedia, and while Wikipedia is normally 100% reliable, it was a little misleading in this case because it says it takes place after the final episode of the series. That's true. It does not specify that it takes place way after the final episode of the series. There is a to put it into perspective, the first season, the anime series, the first season, covers the first four volumes of the light novel series. There is a character in this movie whose first appearance is in volume 15 of the light novel series. Or maybe it was 16. I can't remember. So, yeah, it was 15. So if you were watching this and were wondering who certain characters were, it's because they were introduced in stuff the anime hadn't gotten to.
Yeah.
How
long chronologically do you think it takes place in the future?
I don't know. I was looking into it, and someone said, and I saw someone say that it would take place sometime after volume 25. So that's very far in the future, although it does indicate that, wow, the status quo doesn't seem like it's changed all that much for the most part. But maybe, I don't know, maybe they deliberately tried to keep away things that had shifted. But anyway, for the plot, well, the first half of this is, first 38 and a half minutes, to be more specifically, is the plot of the first season of Excel World, because it's a clip show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that movie, Coco?
I've never heard of the movie Coco.
The Pixar film, the one about the guy with the Day of the Dead celebrations, and he goes into the sort of afterlife thing.
I have heard of that, but okay. Not seen it. No.
Okay. Well, I saw it. It was a pretty decent movie, but for a while at the start, Pixar usually puts these like shorts before their main their movies. And that's fine, you know, like maybe it's like 5 to 7 minutes. It's fun enough. Someone had the bright idea to put in a 22-minute, Frozen special about, centered around the character Olaf from Frozen. And it got so many complaints that eventually they took it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like I said, this, it was originally gonna run on some TV network. So you like get there 22 minutes and you have to wait 22 minutes for the film to start. You know, in a world where you people already coming like 20 minutes late so they don't have to sit through all the previews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was like that. You come in and you're excited and then you have to wait through all this stuff for something to actually get to what you signed up for. Okay, so in this one, basically, it's a little confusing. So this person went into the accelerated world because they got into an accident or something, and they've just kind of stayed there while their body is unconscious, and they are doing something with cameras that's causing people to be unable to enter Excel world, so they go to someplace else where they can, and then there's a big battle that, like, when you get to the actual plot of this, most of it is basically a climax to a movie we didn't see. It's like it just zips straight towards a big climactic battle, except without any real setup.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get to like the person, and the person's like, oh, I don't want to go. I'm doing this because I don't like the real world or whatever. And they're like, but you could have, but things could be good for you. They're like, oh, I never considered that. Okay, everything solved.
Yeah, that, I wasn't impressed by this that much. I guess maybe I got bored because of the fact that you had to sit through the first 40 minutes, which were just the original thing. I didn't know when to start, so oh. I just sat through the whole thing.
Oh.
Like the whole thing was like they spent hardly any time on that thing with the jerk who becomes. You know, he likes to steal people's points. They kind of spent no time at all on that. In fact, I don't even know if he was mentioned.
Yeah,
they did mention something about that you forget your memories or whatever, but they really didn't talk about him at all. So, that was one interesting deviation from the original series.
I actually did notice that. I said I skipped through it. I watched a little of the beginning and then I kind of skipped forward because I knew it was around the 40-minute mark. So I, you know, like moved back a bit. So I did see like the last bits of the clip show and I recap and I was like, huh, I guess they just skipped past him. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, on the whole, there just really isn't that much to say about it's not really continuation of where the show left off. I like literally there's that part where that one like girl with the halo just kind of shows up and I was just thinking, am I supposed to know who this person is? And I looked them up and I was like, oh wow, this person shows up first in volume 15, which would be like the equivalent of like season 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's not really much of a plot to it. Whatever, they could have maybe built stuff up more, but they just decided to, make most of it a recap. So, there's not that much to say about it. It just wasn't that, great. It was a lengthy recap and then a battle that didn't really, that was just kind of, you know, a battle. And then it just gets, mm-hmm. And then it just gets solved by a brief talk no jutsu.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't. It's not something I can really recommend unless you're unless you loved the first season and are just starved for more animated Excel World content. And even then, you probably should just like check out the light novels, or if you want, you know, more visual medium, there's probably a manga for it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted to add to
No, that? I didn't have much to add about it. No.
Okay. It looked like the manga ended after 8 volumes. I don't know how far it got into the story, though. But yeah. Well, we've got Sword Art Online coming back to Toonami this week, so we can check in on who the characters who may be the parents of Kuroyuki Hime.
Maybe.
That is this. You mentioned that speculation, and I mean, it could be. They probably won't reveal it till the end of Excel World, whenever that is. The thing's gone on for 25 volumes.
Yeah, it's that's an interesting theory, certainly.
Okay. So, now that we've gotten that, Attack on Titan, episode 56, The Basement. Well, they sure spend a lot of the episode in the basement, true. Really? So what happened? Okay, so Armin's back, and it's interesting because at the start of the series, everyone's thinking, oh, this is a series with lots of death. Anyone can die. While I have liked this arc has completely disproven that, because all the main characters are still alive.
What about Irvin?
Irvin's the only, I was going to mention that. He died, I wouldn't call him one of the main characters, even though he was important. But yeah, he died, but other than that, a guy character who was important, but in secondary importance, like all the most important characters, the ones introduced early on, are still around, except for Marco. But yeah. But he was like killed off so early that it's like, he was a character?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, there's a bunch of talking about whether they should have saved Armin or Irvin, but ultimately they're like, okay, we've done enough talking about all this stuff already. Let's just get to the basement. So they get to the basement, and then they look around the basement. Like, about half of the episode is them looking around the basement, I feel. But ultimately, they manage to find the secret compartment that Eren's key unlocks. They find a photograph and a note from Eren's father that mentions that, well, it's a photograph because they don't know what a photograph is. And that outside the walls, people actually don't live in fear of the Titans and such. And then the episode ends, but then we do get a post-credits sequence where you see Eren's father when he was younger. In a world that is apparently fairly technologically advanced, considering we see a blimp going around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like they took a long time to reveal very little. They open up that book finally after all that, and they really didn't reveal all that much, and I'm glad that this isn't the final episode, because I was like, for a moment I thought it was the final episode. I thought I was like, oh man, this is a bad place to leave off on. But yeah, that whole scene at the end made me feel like it was in the same universe as Full Metal Alchemist. And I don't know if anime seems to have a unhealthy obsession with Germany, and that's what it reminded me of. So, yeah.
Oh, you think Oh, wait until you see the next episode then. Oh boy, will you be thinking of Germany. I mean, some parts. But honestly, even before that, I mean, so many of the characters' names are German. Like like you can even tell cuz they're pronounced German. Like in German, the J makes a Y sound. That's why he's Aaron Jaeger, even though it's spelled with a with a J.
Yeah, yeah. There was a player in the NFL who was a kicker, and he had that exact name, but everyone called him Jaeger.
The other notable difference in German pronunciation is that the W's are pronounced like a V.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So yeah, that was the episode. It's honestly not too much to really say about because it's basically, well, it's mostly just kind of set up for the actual reveal that's in the next episode. I mean, we already got like kind of the reveal, but like the explanation is in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So. And that was Attack on Titan. So I guess before we move on to discussing anything non-anime, we should give our top threes to the like five shows we watched.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. Keep going.
Yeah, number one is Yasuhime. Number two is Attack on Titan. And I guess number three, what did we watch? I'm forgetting one of them.
We had Ghost, Tales, and Excel World.
Oh, yeah. Tales of the Abyss. That would be my number three pick.
Yeah, those would be my three also. I mean, Ghost in the Shell was kind of dull, and Infinite Burst was just not real. I mean, even if we ignore the fact half of it was a clip show, it just was kind of underwhelming, and it didn't help that it just had a bunch of characters and stuff that we had no idea what they were. I don't know why they decided to. Here's the weirdest thing. So I could understand if they were like, okay, we're going to make a movie and we'll adapt something later because it would, I have no idea if this was original or in the light novels, but they could say, we're just going to do something at this later point because it's like a short thing. It's what we could do in a movie. But we're just like, but then why did you spend half of it recapping the anime series if you were just gonna do something that was so far later on?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, I mean, obviously it was just to pad it out so they could make it feature length. Did you see the Hitalia movie?
Oh man, I have that. I never watched it, but I have it. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was decent enough, but they just, throughout the movie, insert all these clips from the show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Throughout them, it'll just like suddenly cut over to some random goofy bit from the show, and then it'll cut back to the plot of the movie. It would have been like if throughout this, if instead of putting it all to start, the recap parts had just been interspersed throughout the story.
Uh-huh.
Not quite as bad because Italia is a comedy, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's our anime stuff. So this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. And with that, I guess we'll move into our discussion on The Amazing Race, episode 4 of season 32.
Yeah, we were very disappointed, as was most of America, that we lost one of the episodes. We were promised two episodes, and we only got one. they moved SWAT or something into the 9 o'clock spot so that way they have a election thing at 10. And I was fully expecting that they were going to call the election then, because I thought, okay, there had to have been a reason they would take Amazing Race off the air. So it had to be a really important reason. Nope. We still have to wait and wait and wait. And we lost Amazing Race, one of the episodes. So, but they're probably happy about that because they need more slots to fill thanks to Survivor not being able to tape, and usually Survivor tapes 2 seasons. So they have a lot of slots they got to fill up, and I don't know how they're going to do it. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess they could. You know, I'm glancing at it. Yeah, it's looking. I'm just glancing on Survivor. Yeah, it looks like they're going to start trying to film again in 2021, and then premiere it in fall. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the worst thing to spread Amazing Race out, because that's going to be. I don't even know how they're going to manage to get this going again, how long it'll be until they can do this again, because like Big Brother they could do, because you just need to get the people in the house and keep them there. They don't really have much contact with the outside world even, so you can be, so you know, as long as you make sure everyone's coronavirus free when they head in, things should be okay. But like, so the Amazing Race, you're going all around all the place, you're going around the world, like how hard.
No, and there's no. Yeah, there's no way they could do the Amazing Race. None.
Not for a while. I mean, I could maybe if, because it's not just the concerns about the coronavirus itself. It's also the fact that you're having to go to different countries, which is very difficult right now.
A lot of travel restrictions and. And given the things that they do on the Amazing Race, I mean, that a lot of that stuff isn't very healthy. So
I
Survivor is the one I can't figure out. Like they can't do it. Like I don't know how the coronavirus works. I'm not, you know, like I feel like, well, if they could do Big Brother, couldn't they sort of do Survivor? I mean, you could, if you just made a bubble and made sure no one had it. I don't know. I don't know how the virus works, though. So it seems people get it no matter how hard we're trying to prevent it. People are still getting it. So I'm not sure if there's any way you could stop it.
Yeah, with the Amazing Race, I could maybe see, once things have died down a bit, if they, which they hopefully will, they might try to do, there was a past season where they had the, where they had it all take place in the United States, because it was like the family season. Instead of, you know, partners, they would have like, you know, 2 parents and 2 kids, and it was considered to be almost universally to be the worst episode, the worst season of the series. So they might, but they might try to, I mean, it was all in the U.S., I think, because, you know, you have kids there, so it's harder to get travel visas for them and such, but they might try it again, presumably not with the family thing, just with, you know, 2 people, and try to just do it within the U.S. They might try that again out of desperation. But as to the episode that we did watch... let's see. So we turn, this was one where they had 2 of the, I don't think there was quite as much to say about this episode compared to the previous ones, though. Although they did do the, I can't remember what they called it, the thing where they have two people, where they like take back like previous tasks, and of course it's always the really tough ones people had trouble doing. At least they gave them a choice between them this time.
So the watermelon thing turned out to be a lot more difficult than even the balancing thing. But we knew it was going to be a non-elimination leg because, like, it had to be a non-elimination because there were supposed to be two episodes. So we knew they weren't going to eliminate two people in one night. So we knew that was going to be a non-elimination leg. That was, like, the least surprising thing whenever, like, oh, it's a non-elimination leg. And that was, like, yeah, we figured that one out.
The reason I assumed it was a non-elimination leg is that normally when they do this, that thing where they say, hey, we had a really hard task that people had a lot of trouble doing, we're bringing it back. Those tend to be non-elimination legs.
Yeah, I haven't seen the show enough to know. So, That musical instrument challenge was pretty interesting, though. Except I was hoping, like, they could make whatever instrument they wanted. And it was like, no, you have to make this exact instrument with these exact ingredients to an exact specific size. And that kind of took some of the interest out of it because they were all doing the exact same thing.
It was funny to see the NFL stars' reaction when they discovered they weren't in last place.
Yeah.
They just, like, go there and they're like, you are the seventh team. We're not last? It was kind of actually sort of funny because they actually did it because the team that got last place, when you see them, like, going around doing the challenge and it's, like, dark outside, and you're like, oh, well, that takes away any, like, suspense because they're the only ones where it's dark. And then it cuts to the NFL guys, and it's dark while they're still doing their task. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess maybe it could go the other way. It didn't, but it could have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also kind of got screwed by their taxi driver, it looked like.
Yeah.
That was just kind of funny. Like, the person just stops and they go into a house to ask for directions. Wow. Yeah, it would have been, and the team that got last place here got first place last time. No, they didn't. I was looking at the wrong thing. They did not. They got third place. So, although now that I'm looking at it, yeah, the sisters, they're, there's two teams of sisters. Kaylin and Haley, yeah, they got eighth, third, and then eighth here. So they might not necessarily be around for that much longer with their, how they're, like, doing on average.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Was there anything else? The head, it was impressive that when you see them, like, struggling to do the thing with keeping it on their heads, and then you just see, like, the dancer people, you know, like, moving all around and stuff, and it's staying on.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of this past season bit where, I can't remember. It was someplace in Africa, but they had, the challenge was you had to carry this, I can't remember, it was like an urn or something over your head, on your head, and you had to, like, walk some distance without it falling over, and everyone's struggling, and then you're, like, seeing the back, like, some villagers, and they're just, like, having it on their head, and they're, like, just walking along completely normally. They're not, like, you know, having to, like, keep their, like, hands out to try to keep their balance or just taking one step at a time. They're just, like, going, yeah, we're just walking along.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, unfortunately, not quite as much to say about it as in the previous episodes. But then again, we tended to talk for a long time, so maybe that's a good thing to keep it down a little.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed it wasn't two episodes. Next time, they better have a pretty good reason for doing that. I mean, like, who really cares about who the president of the United States is? You need a much bigger reason than that to preempt a reality. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, certainly I don't think we needed to do – well, I didn't watch – well, to be fair, I didn't watch their special election coverage. So maybe it was actually super important. Maybe they had perfect analyses of every thing, and it was like the best hour of news ever, for all I know. But it probably wasn't. So, yeah, that was that episode of The Amazing Race, rather just one rather than the second. And, well, I guess next week we'll see the episode that we were going to watch that was supposed to air this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So they can drag it out. I wonder if they can, like, start cutting up the episodes into 15-minute segments and, like, air one of those every week so they can cover for all of the slots that they're losing because Survivor's gone. You know, Survivor has remained on the air for so long, partially because it is such a cheap show to produce. Like Mark Harmon on NCIS, he commands a salary that's like at least $1 million per episode, whereas Survivor, the winner gets $1 million. That's all you got to give out is a little over $1 million, and you can. So Survivor is a lot cheaper to produce, but it's just not possible in today's world. So, we'll have to see.
I looked it up. Mark Harmon makes $500,000 per episode. Not a full million. He's not that important, but. Yeah. Oh, to be fair, one of the differences is the fact that with Survivor, you can really only air each episode once. NCIS, you can syndicate down on like 5 different networks if you want. There's more money to be made off of NCIS than there is on you can make from each episode than Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Big Brother is probably like the cheapest. You just got to keep people in a house. You don't even like have to like, you know, make them like you like deal with the extra expenses of being on an island or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, Shark Tank would be even cheaper. No wonder they ended repeats well too. You can they like show the stuff on CNBC of it. No wonder they keep that mm-hmm. show around. Okay, well, so we seem to be just about out of things to say, so we'll see you next week.
Bye.